Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters. Be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
Hi, I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on Transformation Talk Radio. Join us every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Today on Fired Up with CJ, I have Chris, who is our station owner at WBLQ, which is located in 2030 a.m., located in Rhode Island, and one of the stations that plays Transformation Talk Radio live. Welcome, Chris.
Well, thank you very much, CJ. I appreciate you having me on your show.
Yeah, I'm so excited. You know, I was thinking about, you know, why am I doing a show? What's happening? And, you know, one of the things I realize is that we spend so much time in our lives doing and, you know, trying to get to work, talk to people, get stuff done. And that in my mad rush to get this radio show out, that I really don't know you as a person. You know, I mean, you spend so much time doing that you don't spend enough time relating. And so that was really my intention, is to really get to know you, the person who is so wonderful and makes my radio show happen every week. So,
well, I think the same thing of you, CJ, and at some point on one of my programs, I would love to interview you. So I think this is a great learning experience for the listeners and you and everybody.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I do think that in general, like, even if it's you know, think about all the people, whether, you know, you're getting coffee and you go to the same coffee place every day, and do you know anything about the wonderful person that, you may not have this in Rhode Island, and in Seattle we're all addicted to coffee. Well, I am at least. So, you know, the same person that I see across the counter, you know, do I spend the time and, like, say hello? Most times I do, but sometimes I don't. And oftentimes I don't know anything about this person that I see every single day, you know, or sometimes twice a day.
Right. Well, coffee is a national phenomenon, so that's definitely not unique to your area. I think definitely coffee addiction goes with, it doesn't matter where you are, I think there's always coffee addiction. The thing that we have quite a bit of over here are drive-thrus. I don't know if you're going into the coffee shop, but we have a lot of drive-thrus over here.
Oh, my gosh. That's just taking it to a whole new, we do have drive-thrus, but there is the art of coffee. It's
right.
Not just pumping the caffeine in your veins.
It's a whole other
Although
show.
I appreciate that as well. So I want, you know, here's what I find so fascinating with clients in your story, which is that at a really early age, you knew you wanted to do what you're doing now. I find that fascinating.
Well, thank you very much. And it is true. When I was possibly, I'm going to say infant or toddler. Believe it or not, yes, this is what my parents tell me anyway, is that when I had a hard time going to sleep, I think it all started with, it sounds funny, but I think there's some truth to it. They used to turn the radio up very, very loud, and believe it or not, the loud sound of the radio would actually make me go to sleep. So I think subliminally that had an effect on my future. And then that developed into probably around the age of 4 or 5, one of my birthday presents was, actually, I don't think it was a birthday present. My father, for his work, he had a tape recorder because he's always worked in education. He's actually in special education. And he took a tape recorder to work at the time. This was the 70s, so we didn't have iPods and computers and digital
right.
things like that. So he had this little handheld tape recorder, and he was just, he left it lying around. He showed me how it worked one night. And once he showed me how it worked, I started running around recording everybody, including myself. And when I realized that I could record myself and others and then play the tape write back. I think that right there was what really sparked the interest.
Okay, so who was your first interview with, and what were you interviewing for? I just can't wait to hear at age four what you were interviewing.
I had no idea, what an interview was, but right. I think it was basically me talking to my parents and talking to family members. And the other thing I used to do, one thing that I didn't really understand why I was getting in trouble at the time, was I actually would just record people and they didn't know I was recording them. In my head, I was doing something creative and fun, but I think in their head, they're like, Chris, I can't believe you recorded that. That was a private conversation. But it was a lot of fun. And then that developed into, they refer to radio as theater of the mind. And what that developed into was it went from me recording family members and myself to me listening to the radio and pretending I was different people on the radio. At a very young age, my parents my father specifically used to listen to Wolfman Jack, who I'm sure
you must
be familiar. You know, hey there, baby, how you doing? You know, so I heard him on the radio. He had a syndicated show in the late 70s and early 80s, and when I heard him, I started imitating. I think Wolfman Jack was probably one of the first people I started to imitate, and then from there on in, I just started to imitate everybody I heard.
Okay, now you have to tell me your other imitations. I need to hear your imitations of other people. Just, I'm going to have a flashback of my radio experience. Give me your three best imitations. I have to.
Well, he came in later times, but I was a big fan of President Clinton, and I really enjoyed his discussions in the Oval Office. And, I was thinking maybe, CJ, if I were still president, you definitely would have been hired as one of my interns,
Wow, that's good. Wow, so you really had a knack of, listening to intonation and character and all those different things. So you really knew about sound. Because in order to do that, right, you need to know about sound.
That's true, although I never really, wanted to be an impressionist. I never thought about, because there were people like Rich Little on TV, and I think he had a show in the late 70s, early 80s called You Asked For It, and that was like my first introduction to people like Rich Little and other impressionists. But that really wasn't the direction I wanted to go in. I think as I get older, I just heard all of the different announcers on the radio, and I like the idea of my favorite radio station in the early 80s became WNBC in New York, and they were a very personality-oriented top 40 radio station on AM 660 in New York, which is now an all-sports station. And when I heard the disc jockeys like Don Imus, and believe it or not because of his vulgarity, but, Howard Stern, there were other personalities on that station, too, besides, those two people. And I heard all of their different styles and their different personalities, and the fact that they could have a personality-oriented show. A lot of the disc jockeys on that station would talk for about 20 minutes, then they'd play a record, then they'd talk more, play some commercials, and play a record. They were probably playing like 3 or 4 records an hour, so it wasn't all about the music, and that was the kind of radio I loved. I loved the personality aspect of it, and I think the mixture of music and talk, that ended up being my favorite kind of radio.
Mm. And what did you like most about it?
I like the fact that, nowadays everybody's into reality television, and back then, that's exactly what I would have called reality radio, because I would hear the different personalities, they would talk about what was going on in the studio. I heard the different people on WNBC, this cart machine won't work, or, we don't use carts anymore, but they kind of looked like 8-track tapes. And when I started in radio, there were reel-to-reels and cart machines and all of that stuff. And they would talk about the station management. They'd say, the vice president and general manager, he's mad today. And I remember one of the disc jockeys even doing a stint where they called the general manager in his office, and he wasn't too happy that they put him on the air. So it was basically reality radio. So that's what I really learned a lot just by listening to that.
And you had your early age of age 4 when you had reality radio in your own household, where you're recording a private conversation. You had that interest at age 4, and who knows what you were doing in your mother's womb.
I was recording the heartbeats, maybe, in my head.
Exactly. I know all about what's happening on the outside now.
That's right.
Being on the inside. So tell me a little bit about the reality TV and your interest in reality radio, and how that's extended into your show now.
Well, when I listen
shows now.
Exactly. When I listened to those shows on the radio, I had an image in my head. And getting back to that whole theater of the mind, having radio being referred to as theater of the mind, I can't think of any better description because that's exactly what was going on in my head. I could see the radio studio in my head by listening to the personalities on WNBC. And I started to tune around and listen to other stations, too. But still, my constant, my favorite was WNBC. So in 19, I don't want to be jumping the gun on a question that you might ask, but basically in 1988, I knew that WNBC was being sold, and I knew that that radio station was going to come to an end, and it did. But that very same year was when my grandfather saw an ad in our local newspaper for a radio station, a daytime-only AM country radio station, looking for a weekend person to basically change reel-to-reels on a homemade automation system. And I got to read one live commercial an hour, and that was pretty much my first radio job.
Oh, wow. Okay, and what was that like? Tell me your first day on the job. What was that like?
Well, I was nervous, and I think I was more nervous because my head, this is the way my head works. My head kept saying to myself, I can't believe it. This is what I've always wanted to do, and I'm actually here. So it created a feeling of anxiousness. And I'll never forget this, and I'm friends with my old boss to this day, but I remember I left the microphone on about three or four times when I did that. It was a one-minute live top-of-the-hour commercial. The name of the gas company was Dupain Gas and Oil. And I would say, Dupain time is 1 o'clock. Remember to rely on Dupain for all of your oil and propane needs. That's all I said, but that was like my claim to fame. And I remember every time I did that, the first two or three times I left the mic on, and the owner of the station, my boss at the time, he was mad at me, but he couldn't yell because the mic was on. So those were some classic moments. If I could just replay what his face looked like in my head, his face was bright red, but he couldn't say anything because the mic was still on. He'd run over and shut the mic off, and then he would vent and say, don't let that happen again.
That is too funny. So, I mean, but I don't even understand. What didn't he want you to have happen? What was the thing that you were doing that he was irritated about?
Well, you can't leave your microphone on when you're not on. In other words, if you're going into a commercial break, for example, you don't want to leave your microphone on. You got to shut your mic off.
So your mic was on and he was hearing your chitter chatter on the end. Oh, I see. Got it.
Not just that. Because you've got the radio monitor on in the background, you'll get feedback. If you step away from the mic and you've got the monitor turned up, you hear that, that feedback noise. So there was a little bit of all of that going on.
Yeah, but my bet is that you never made that mistake again, though. The first lesson learned on radio.
That was my first lesson learned. And yes, I didn't make that mistake. I made other mistakes, but not that one.
Okay, well, we have Chris, the station owner of WBLQ on Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio. Up next, more about learning about Chris and his life. You want to know more about WBLQ or listening to other shows like this, check it out on www.firedupwithcj.com. And tell us your URL, too, Chris.
It's WBLQ.net, and when you go to WBLQ.net, there's also a link to Transformation Talk Radio, and you can actually see CJ's show in that list of shows that Dr. Pat has.
Reduces waste by providing a new material for bathroom tissue and baby wipes. Bambusa Bamboo Products offers the only tree-free 100% bamboo bathroom tissue and award-winning baby wipes made from ultra-soft bamboo-derived fibers. Using material from renewable bamboo is the ideal alternative for toilet paper and wet wipes. Call 866-996-2867 or visit bambusa.com.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Lower back pain can be a real pain in the, well, you know. The newly patented VacuPractor relieves that pain simply, inexpensively, and from the privacy of your own home for just $59.95. Listen to what Brad and Dottie have to say about their VacuPractor.
The VacuPractor is amazing. I've had back pain for so long, it's taking time to adjust and not having the pain there.
Each time I've used my VacuPractor, I've gotten instant relief. I would recommend anyone with stiffness and lower back pain give the VacuPractor a try.
VacuPractor is just a one-time cost of $59.95. And you can use it whenever you need in your own home. How does it work? Simple. The VacuPractor uses vacuum pressure. It stretches muscles, restoring proper nerve function and reducing the possibility of disc failure. Finally, a simple, effective treatment for lower back pain that really works.
For more information about the VacuPractor or to order yours, call 800-676-9320 or visit VacuPractor.com.
In case you just joined in, I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Chris DiPaola, station owner of 1230 WBLQ, this segment learning more about Chris and his life. So welcome back. Tell us about the story that you shared with me about your last name and how I should be pronouncing it, or how other people should be pronouncing it. Your grandmas want us to pronounce it.
Well, yeah, that's so true that you put it that way. I've got my grandfather's sisters, who I refer to as my Italian aunts, his sister, and then on my grandmother's side of the family. They're constantly reprimanding me, saying it's DiPaola, because that's the Italian pronunciation. That's right, the Italian pronunciation, because it's spelled with an A at the end. But over time, and I blame my father to this day. My father is involved in education. He was in special ed. He was a school superintendent. And they've always referred to him, because of his PhD, as Dr. DiPaola. And I don't know if he's the one that started that, but I blame him. So on the radio, when I do the news or if I say my name, I'm always saying Chris DiPaola. And that's how I've always said it. And it sounds like I'm spelling my last name with an O, but it's actually an A.
It's not funny. I think that it should be like NPR. You know how their guests are always like, you know, have these funky names.
Yeah.
It'd be like the straight Chris DiPaola. Hello, this is Chris DiPaola.
And not to say anything bad about NPR. Not to say anything bad about NPR, but they do have some pretty funky names on that network.
I know. I love the names, but I just love how they ethnicize it at the end. DiPaola.
Right.
In case you're listening to NPR, and I love NPR, so I'm not dissing it at all. I just think the name thing is a funny thing. Okay, so let's go back to, God, I still am astounded that age 4 or 5 that you were starting on your career in radio. And then it started. So, and then how old were you when you were doing the your commercials? How old was that?
That was, 1988. And it was June of 88. My birthday, I was born in April 13th, 1973. So I would have been 15 when I started. I was just getting out of my ninth grade year in high school. And I had remembered, I mean, this is the way it all started. I was 15. I did not have a driver's license. The guy who I started working for, he started that radio station when he was 21 years old. He's another locally known entrepreneur named John Fuller. He's now a media mogul, and he owns a bunch of big FM stations, much bigger than I could ever, not that I could never do it. I think we can all do anything we want if you put your mind to it. But he's definitely come a long way, and I looked up to him and kept calling him. I was very, very persistent, and I think he saw some of himself in me when I just kept calling and calling, where I wasn't to the point of being annoying, but I was just very, very persistent, because he kept telling me, come back when you get your driver's license when you're 16. And then finally, maybe after the fifth or sixth time, he just said, all right, come on in for an interview. So at that point, he was looking for weekend help, and he interviewed me, and sure enough, shortly after the interview, I had my weekend job basically changing reel-to-reel tapes. There were these tapes that I mentioned in the last segment. They were referred to as carts, which is short for cartridges. They look like 8-track tapes. They're basically endless loops, and commercials and sometimes even music and jingles were all played off of carts. And if you talk to anybody in broadcasting who's been in the business for at least 20 years, they can tell you, and maybe even 15 years too, they can tell you what a cart is. They can tell you, you know, I know you've heard of reel-to-reel, CJ.
Right.
And that was my job. I had to clean the heads on those machines. And there were also something called carousels, which the commercials, you put the carts in carousels, so, and you'd load up the hour, and each carousel would rotate every time it would come to the next commercial break, and that's what basically a carousel did. And totally night and day from what radio is today, but that's, you know, what I did when I started out.
Okay, just out of curiosity, as a contrast, right, so you had these big 8-track tapes that you put in this carousel that then was manual inserted? Is that, I assume you manually inserted those at the right time, right? What is it? What if I were to like take the, you know, fast forward today, what does it look like today if I were to go into your studio?
Well, everything, and this goes for 99% of the studios out there. There might be maybe one or two out there that still uses cart machines as like a kind of a retro thing, but everything is digital. I mean, right now we're recording this show into Cool Edit Pro, which is a very popular recording program. And all of the commercials are basically MP3s saved on a hard drive. And, you know, the technology is here for me to be talking to you through a program called Skype. And who would have thought of that? I mean, just a few years ago, nobody would even be thinking about doing radio with a program called Skype. So I think I was also very fortunate by starting in 1988 at the age of 15 that I saw a huge transition in the business itself, which is a whole other conversation.
Yeah, okay. I want to have that conversation later, because I do want to hear about the transitions. But I also want to find out, you know, if whether it was you or John, I mean, what is it that you, and then I know that you said that you love the personalities and kind of the personality mixed with music, but what about the medium do you find so special and alluring and attractive? I mean, aside from putting you to sleep at when you're bored, what else is alluring? What do you love about it?
Well, I think the most common thing is something, you know, that most people would look at in radio is the fact that you're reaching a number of people. Of course, you know, all stations reach a different amount of people, but you'd know that it's more than just one other person on the other end, or at least one other person on the other end that has the potential to listen to your radio station, because, you know, most people in some way, shape, or form have a radio receiver somewhere. And the fact that you know that your voice is traveling through the airwaves, and the fact that you can reach people, and you become, there's a little bit of ego there, with me anyway, and I'll be honest, there is. And, you know, just being able to go around and have your name be known, and that was always, you know, a huge high for me.
Mm-hmm. What was a high for you? I mean, tell me what the experience would be day in, day out for the high that you would experience.
Well, I still get this experience today, and it's not anything that is left. I never got tired of it. It's just the fact, it's true, and that's what keeps me with it. It's the fact that not only are you, you know, having an impact and reaching people, but the fact that you can basically, I can go down to the grocery store down the road from the radio station, and I bump into people, and even if they don't know what my face looks like, and they hear my voice, they say, oh, aren't you Chris DiPaolo from the radio station? Like, to me, I know that doesn't, you know, maybe it doesn't affect everybody that way, but for me, that's, to this day, still, like, you know, such a wonderful feeling, you know, to have that. And I do enjoy serving the community as well. I feel that it's not just about me being on the radio. I mean, there's also that, the fact that local community radio is needed in this area. There has been a local community radio station in this area since 1950. 1149, this frequency that we're on, 1230 a.m. And the station, it's funny, you were talking about NPR earlier, because in 1999, 1230 a.m. was sold to Boston University, and they made it an NPR repeater station. And even though NPR is a wonderful format, you can get it in many places, even in the Northeast where we are here. You can tune around the FM dial in the lower end of, you know, the FM band, and you're going to get a few NPR stations. And the fact that 1230 became another NPR clone, a lot of people were, you know, disappointed that they couldn't get local radio anymore. So I had, and again, I don't want to jump ahead to maybe another question that you're going to ask me, but I ended up filing for a little 100-watt, you know, non-commercial license in the late 90s just to get on the radio. But still, I wasn't able to have the opportunity to take over 1230 a.m. from Boston University until 2009 when they decided to sell the radio station. And through, you know, the approval of the FCC and the Attorney General was involved because it was going from non-commercial back to commercial again. And then, of course, getting financing. The local bank here, Washington Trust Company, financing basically a $350,000 loan to take over the license for the radio station. So there were a lot of factors involved. So it's not just being on the radio. I felt that the area, and I still feel this way, this area and many small towns, they need a community radio station. And the cities too, but I think you need the community radio station. There's the station we can tune to get informative talk programs like this. You can get high school sports. You can get we carry the town meetings on Monday night. So it's a local yokel type of station.
What do you think? Why does the community need it? If it didn't have it, because you had a period right when it was the NPR repeater station. What did you notice the difference was in your community without a community radio station?
Well, I was doing community radio as best I could with the 100 watt station. So in my head, we were doing community radio. The problem was with 100 watts, we weren't adequately serving the community. So without the community station on 1230 AM, there was a big void. And even with our 100 watts, I think I don't want to minimize anything that, you know, I did over the years, because I think we were doing a good job with 100 watts, but without the signal, we could not adequately serve the community. So there was a void in the area. And there were a lot of people who said to me during those years that 1230 was NPR, you know, what can you do about your signal, Chris? You know, we need that radio station, but, you know, I try to listen to it and I lose it in certain parts of town, and you're a westerly radio station. Why do I lose it in this part of town? And, you know, people kept asking me, what can I do to boost the power? And unfortunately, it's not, you know, magic. I mean, you could go out and buy the equipment and make it more powerful that way, but the FCC, that means the Federal Communications Commission, they're very, very strict. They are out there, and they will fine you if you're doing something wrong. So that's why I had to go about it the right way. You can either, you know, file for a new radio station if there are open frequencies, and there are none left in this area, or you buy an existing station, and 1230 being an existing station happened to come up for sale, and that's when I just found the right opportunity to, you know, start working on that transaction.
So how do you see it serving the community?
I see it serving the community through first having a local news outlet, and also just, you know, disseminating, you know, essential information. If the local social club is having a pasta dinner to benefit the, you know, the local soup kitchen, or you have, you know, some kind of event that the Chamber of Commerce is doing, and, you know, you're out there broadcasting live from these events. And one of the most important things is high school sports, because a lot of the corporate cloned radio stations, and again, I say it without putting them down, but they're not really focused in on, you know, doing high school sports and local news and things like that. While their top news story might be something that President Obama did, while our top news story is that a chicken got loose from the farm up the road or something like that. So,
oh, and what do you think that does? I mean, because, and so what I'm hearing is that it's about connecting the community. It's, you know, coming up with telling about the venues where the community can connect together, and then also just knowing particular people in the community. That, what do you think that does to the community itself?
I think through the community itself, it definitely brings the community closer together. There's no question about it. And we basically, when I say a community, we're two states, even three states. I mean, our signal does reach New York, but more so Rhode Island and Connecticut, where, you know, our antenna is basically located right on the state line of Rhode Island and Connecticut. You can throw a stone right out the studio and hit Connecticut from where I'm sitting. And I think that is what the community is. And I definitely think that by having a local radio station, you're kind of unifying. You're bringing the community together. You have, you know, local leaders on, politicians who come on the station as a, you know, on a regular basis, and it allows them to stay in touch with the community. And I know we got to go to break, but I can tell you more about actually a tragic thing that happened about a year ago in this area where that actually held true with this community station.
Okay, so Chris DePaula, station owner of WBLQ, 1230, of Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio. Up next, we'll hear about, unfortunately, the tragic thing that happened. Do you want to know more about WBLQ? Go to WBLQ.net or listen to the show or others like it at www.firedupwithcj.com.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host at transformationtalkradio.com.
Imagine you had a way to protect yourself from cancer, depression, and disease, and dispel the nastiest bugs that attempt to hide undetected. Take a moment to wonder, how good does that feel? How powerful? Did you know that enough golden sunlight produces vitamin D in your body to protect itself against disease? Producing enough vitamin D can kill cancer cells, reduce blood pressure and inflammation, and even help with weight loss. This amazing little vitamin is actually not a vitamin at all, but a powerhouse of protection that can activate your body's innate healing ability, but only if you have enough in your blood to shine the light. Tune in and listen to award-winning author Dr. Lucinda Messer share how you can harness the power of sunlight to create a healthy body and mind. Her book, Powerful Medicine Vitamin D, shedding light on a worldwide health crisis, is like having a vitamin D expert on hand to answer all your health questions. For more information, visit PowerfulD.com. That's PowerfulD.com.
I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This segment, Chris DePaula, station owner of 1230 WBLQ. So tell us real quickly, if you were to describe what 1230 WBLQ for folks who don't live in Westerly or Rhode Island or Connecticut or New York, how would you describe what the station is in the area that you serve?
Well, I would describe it as the local full-service community radio station. And there are still some independent stations. When I say independent, I mean not owned by a corporation. They are still available in certain parts of the country. And in the Northeast, I mean, I can think of a few off the top of my head. There's one that comes to mind in Putnam, Connecticut, WINY, owned by a husband and wife. And there's a couple of others in other areas of the country where basically a local community station means that's the station you can tune into to hear the local news in the morning, to hear the local sports, to hear what happened at the town meeting, to hear political leaders come on the radio from the area, community service organizations, the local soup kitchen, the local food pantry, who we have on a regular basis, Rhode Island Blood Center. I mean, people, it offers basically a community outlet for people to come on the radio. Also offers an outlet for wonderful shows like yours, CJ, part of the Transformation Talk Radio Network, which is something that in a community like Westerly, Stonington, and even other parts of the country, is very, very helpful in daily living when you think about attributing, you know, positive living to your life. So with all of that together, I kind of use the word, I think this comes from a term from the Thanksgiving table. It's a cornucopia of basically local programming.
Yeah, that's fascinating. So tell me a little bit about, I know that before the break you were talking about, we were talking about the importance of local radio for building community and unifying the community together, and you said that you had a tragic story that you wanted to share.
Yes, unfortunately, about a little over a year ago, it was actually March of 2010, the end of March, March 31st, it made national news, so some folks elsewhere listening to the network might know what I'm talking about, but we were hit with devastating floods. I know there have been many floods that have hit other parts of the country as well, but we here in the Westerly Stonington area, when I say Stonington, that's the nearby town in Connecticut, we were hit with something you would never see in probably in hopefully another 200 years, where every low-lying piece of area along our local river here, the Pawcatuck River, which is the river right behind the radio station here, luckily it becomes sea level behind where I am, and it's tidal right here where the tide goes in and out, but further inland the water rose so much that it encompassed a good portion of Westerly proper, the downtown Westerly and Stonington, Connecticut areas. It put a lot of people, a lot of businesses went out of business, a lot of people became homeless, and that's when WBLQ was able to prove, and I don't mean this, because this was a tragic circumstance, so I'm not saying that, you know, any part of that is good, but there is one thing that happened, is that WBLQ was able to prove, you know, that we are indeed a local radio station, and we had everybody basically come to the radio station, like our town manager, Steve Hartford, here in Westerly, where as soon as the flood hit, most of the electricity went out in town. Luckily, we were able to keep our transmitter on the air, and he came to the station to address the public, and I have never seen the phone light up as much as it did that day, thanking us for being there, and also people who wanted to talk to the town manager, and a lot of them were cries for help. You know, what do we do? So there were some people who were actually even stranded. Areas of town became islands where they were actually cut off unless they had a boat. And don't forget, this is March, so you're not talking the warmest month of the year, at least here in the Northeast. So you couldn't just like wade through the water. And I mean, it was cold, and there are some people stranded. So WBLQ, I would like to think, played an important role, and maybe we even saved a life or two. And that makes me feel happy.
Yeah, I was going to say, you saved lives. I mean, seriously, if someone was stranded in the middle of, you know, I know it's spring, but almost winter, that's an incredible story. That must have been a very pivotal moment for you.
It really was, and it also was a pivotal moment in that we were able to look at that, and, of course, you are your own worst critic. And basically what we did, myself and other people at the radio station, we looked at that and said, you know, we weren't expecting that. You know, we did what we could, and we did it to the best of our ability. But if it happens again, this is what we did wrong. What could we have done differently? You know, what should we do to get the generator working properly at the transmitters that way? Because we were actually off the air for a couple of hours, and I'm looking back on that, and I said, boy, if I had that generator, you know, working, you know, we wouldn't have been off the air for a couple of hours. So basically, we kind of pick apart. I think we did a great job, but if you want to give it a grade, I think we probably got a B minus. I think to make it an A, we can look at all of the things that, you know, like getting the generator working and maybe how we, you know, the way we disseminated the information, you know, maybe going on, you know, a little more, you know, at nighttime, we were only going on hourly with the information, you know, figuring that the best time, you know, to be really constant with it was during morning drive, but people were relying on us 24 hours a day. So, you know, it was a great learning experience. And,
yeah,
you know.
It sounds like you, you know, what can you do with any learning experience but learn from it and get feedback and improve, which is what you did. Now, tell me a little bit about, if I fast forward, if I were doing a little video of that area, what, tell me what it looks like, what it feels like. What does it feel like in that area? What does it look like? How would you describe the town to someone who's never been there?
Well,
the towns or area.
Well, right. Where the radio station is, downtown Westerly and downtown Pawcatuck, which is pretty much the downtown for Stonington, the Connecticut side of the river, it really is a piece out of a Norman Rockwell painting. And I'm serious when I say that. It's Main Street USA at its finest. If you were, and I hope you can make it out here sometime, CJ, if you were to.
I hope to this summer, yeah. I'm going to hopefully come out there this summer.
We would love to see you. Basically, just walking along the street, we've got the old-fashioned lamppost. The building where the radio station is, the Brown Building, was built in 1910. You've got that historical feel walking through the downtown area. You've got the river, which I was talking about, right behind the radio station. And it's a very close-knit community, too. We're, you know, local mom-and-pop shopkeepers up and down the road. And you've got your men's formal wear shop. You've got a couple of local restaurants. You mentioned coffee earlier, and I was talking about drive-thrus, but I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Perks and Corks, where they serve coffee during the day and wine at night, and they have, you know, live entertainment. It's basically a town from years ago, but still, you know, surviving in today's economy.
So you're walking down the street, people say hi to each other, they know each other's names. I mean, how far along is it of that Main Street USA feeling? Is it like that?
That's exactly what it is. And everybody does know everybody. And, you know, we're talking about my name. I hear people saying, Mr. DePaulo. Some people say, Mr. DePaulo. Some people say, hey, Chris, how you doing? And, you know, hey, Mr. DePaulo. And, you know, and I do the same thing. I say hi to people as I'm walking down the road. And the jewelry store is across the street. It reminds me of the movie It's a Wonderful Life, Bedford Falls. And if you're a fan of that movie, I don't want to say, you know, that I'm George Bailey because I'm a few pounds heavier, many pounds heavier, but I kind of feel like I've got that mentality where, you know, I'm walking around town and, you know, even though I deep within, I want, you know, I'd love to see the world, but my heart and is always right here with the radio station and, you know, in the local area. And I really feel sentimental about it. And I love Westerly. I really do. Well, Westerly and Stonington, Connecticut.
Mm. It's amazing the amount of pride that you have in the place that you live and kind of the community and connection. It's so rare. I think, unfortunately, you've probably just doubled the population of Westerly just by that description. Now no one will find their current place acceptable when they know that something so wonderful is someplace else. Oh, my goodness. So, you know, here's the thing that, you know, I love that you did. And then I just wonder about, you know, the mass consolidation of the Walmarts. You know, there was a Walmartization with radio, right? Wherein,
true.
I can't remember the date, but like in the 1990s, was it when there was a mass, some type of media thing was passed?
Yes.
And then, what's that name of that big broadcast company? Clear Channel came,
right.
And like that. I mean, and at the time, I was reading old, you know, stuff on the internet. There was so much dialogue, like, you know what, you're going to take out the local flavor and the of all radio, and this is going to be an awful thing. And And I don't know. I listen to your radio station, and I kind of agree. I mean, what am I? What would you say to, you know? Because you were you know, probably thinking as much as anyone else. What's the impact of Clear Channel and those kind of mediums? What do you think is the impact has been, both good and bad?
Right. And again, I'm careful not to make it, you know, to go out and badmouth anybody. But it is so true. You're absolutely right, though, CJ. If you look at what happened in 1996, it was the Telecommunications Act of 1996, which, you know, allowed the deregulation. Yeah, there was a limit before then as to how many radio stations, television stations, and even newspapers that one could own. And basically what happened, the National Association of Broadcasters were their powerful attorneys. And when I say powerful, I mean deep pockets. They were able to influence legislation, unfortunately, and it basically allowed, you know, the FCC and Congress to deregulate. And what that has done, and what it is still doing for big corporations like that. I have a friend who works for Clear Channel, so I can say this. I'm stating a fact, and I'm not stating an opinion, that they, you know, our big city, the capital of Rhode Island, Providence, they have a hub of about, they have five radio stations there. Let me see. One, two, I have to make sure I'm counting right. Four radio stations. And all of their programming, they've got a classic hit station, they've got a soft rock station, they've got an AOR, which means a classic and new rock station, your album-oriented rock. And what they've done is Clear Channel has one place in the country where their disc jockeys just record everything and where the music comes from. And 90% of what you're hearing is not localized. They might have a local morning show. And pretty much that's it. And it's all about the bottom line. It's all about, you know, the Arbitron numbers, you know, and bringing the ratings in. And then, you know, all about, you know, obviously you need advertising dollars to keep the station on the air. But it basically, you've got stockholders where they're not, you know, there's no passion for the business. It's about what's the bottom line. And if something's not working, you know, you get rid of that person, you put this person in, and everybody's indispensable. And they're basically all clones. The same rock station that I'm hearing in Providence, I could go out to Seattle, or is that where you are, at Seattle? Or,
yeah,
I could go out there and I could hear the same radio station just with different call letters. So it is pretty sad. And I'm happy, though, that we're able to offer a refreshing difference.
Yeah. Well, and for us, it's 93.3 is the channel in the Seattle area that is pre-programmed. And it's, you know, I can understand from a business person the efficiencies of doing it. And, you know, it's funny because I was talking to our children, and my son and his good friend, I carpooled with them in the morning. And I said, did you know that this 93.3 is a national station? It's like someone someplace else is just pre-programming the list. Do you have issues with that? You know, just, I know they're middle school, but I just asked them, like, what do you think? And they said, well, we like it. We like it because it plays the same songs, and we're familiar with the songs, and we like that. You know, maybe that's a middle school mentality. And I said, but do you realize that they're not here locally? And they said, it doesn't feel like they're not here locally because they are, you know, it's like the person's talking about the Seattle weather, and they're talking about traffic, so it doesn't feel like they're not local.
Right.
So it was interesting because I thought, you know, there's part of me, the more, there's some kind of, I don't know, a part of me that questions, like, the, I don't know, is it right? What are we removing that we don't even realize that we're moving that's so critical? And then I hear your story about the flood, you know, in almost a year ago. Was it a year? 2 years ago?
A year ago, March 2010. Yes, March 31st.
Yeah. And then I think, what would have happened to people if you didn't have a local radio station where that gentleman couldn't come to your radio station and make an announcement? I don't know. It's just an interesting question.
Right.
So more from Chris DePaula on Fired Up with CJ on Transformation Talk Radio. If you want to learn more about Chris, you can find a profile of his on WBLQ.net or on my website, www.firedupwithcj.com. We'll be right back.
Do you dream of being on The Amazing Race? Well, here's your chance. Grab a friend and prepare for an exhilarating race around the city when City Solve Urban Race comes to your city. Teams of two will solve clues and face fun challenges while racing around the city. The winning team gets $300 and a chance to be in the Las Vegas Championship race to compete for a grand prize of $5,000. Not only will you have a ton of fun, you'll also be helping a good cause. A portion of the proceeds will benefit a local charity. To start racing, go to CitySolveUrbanRace.com.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Get ready to feel more alive. Alive with a Deal brings you the truth behind things you experience every day, ways you can heal yourself, and choices that make you feel truly alive. A Deal is a true Renaissance man, a world-renowned yoga master, naturopathic doctor for 10 years, an attorney, and has degrees in physics, math, hypnotherapy, massage, operatic singing, plus he's an expert in green home building. Alive with a Deal discusses health for your body, from heartache to heartburn, your mind, from judgment to joy, your home, from cooking to color, and your spirit, so you can bring forth your talents hidden deep within. A Deal bravely discusses things most people wouldn't touch, delivered with compassion, integrity, and wit. Alive with a Deal is about your own healing so that you feel more alive. Tune in each Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on Transformation Talk Radio and Alternative Talk. Feel more alive. Alive with a Deal.
I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This segment, Chris DePaul, our wonderful station manager, 2030 WBLQ, who's been involved in radio, oh gosh, it sounds like since infancy.
That's true.
How many people can say that? Okay, so here's the thing that I want, because there's so many people to ask you about, because I really think you are an inspiration for so many who, you know, who maybe at an early day, and in your case, you had a passion and you followed it all the way up until you actually bought a radio station, you know, later on. But what would you say to people out there who, you know, they have a passion, you know, they may have had a passion earlier on, they may have given it up. What would you say to them to encourage them?
Well, I would say that it's, and what people tell me is you really have to stick with it. And if you have a passion for something, you have to, and I'm going to relate it to Yoda from Star Wars, because I'm a Star Wars fan, where he would say, there is no try, do or do not, and you just have to do it. And there are so many different ways, even with corporate consolidation, to get involved in radio. There isn't one radio station that I can think of, even if they're corporately owned, that would refuse an intern. And I know we all have to pay the bills and we all have to make a living, but if you want to do something badly enough, you want to be in this business, there are ways for you to get involved. And starting from the ground floor and being persistent and being positive, and maybe you won't get exactly what you want right away, but you've got to stick with it. And that's one of my aunts who passed away. She lived to the ripe old age. I think it was like 95 or 96, but she kept telling me, Chris, stick with it. No matter what happens, stick with it. There was a period of time when I was working for another radio station, but I was doing sales. And there's, as you know, CJ, there's a lot of rejection in sales. And psychologically, you've got to be trained to always be positive no matter what that rejection is. And there were a couple of times when I, you know, actually was thinking, you know, about giving it up and going to maybe work for a grocery store or do something else. And my aunt just kept telling me, Chris, you got to stick with it. If this is something and I know you really want to do this, you got to stick with it. And that's the advice I would give to people.
And aside from your aunt's words, which I'm sure were a huge impetus, like sometimes, and that's part of what the show is all about, it's that sometimes it just takes one spark to light a fire. That's my tagline, because it really just takes one person, one comment, to actually have you turn things around and take action. But, I mean, what would you say also helped you, aside from that one comment, but what helps? I mean, because, you know, I did a whole bunch of research for this segment, and it was depressing. Just seeing the amount of depressing and inspirational, both, to see the amount of changes that are happening in the industry and what people are saying are possibilities and all the different technologies. I mean, it seems
right.
Overwhelming.
Well, and again, I'm nobody is perfect, and I'm still learning every day. But I think the best thing to do is to listen to your passion, where we all have a passion for something. And no matter who you are, no matter what you're doing in life, you have some kind of a passion. And I would definitely say, listen to that passion. Don't ignore that passion. Because if you do that, whatever you're passionate about, you ask me what makes me stick with it, what gives me that drive, and it is the passion that gives me the drive. If I look at, the history of me doing this, and I mean, now I'm making a living. Am I making millions of dollars? No, but I'm able to support a family, and I'm also, you know, doing something I love. But there were some pretty tough times, and what made me stick with it? It was definitely the passion, because I thought about it. I thought, oh, yeah, I could do, you know, something else. I could probably, and I don't mean this as too much of an insult, I could go down and work at McDonald's. There were certain times where I could make more money doing that than doing this, you know, in the earlier stages of the radio station or me being in the business. But I just kept saying to myself, and again, hearing my aunt's words, you know, this is what I love to do. And it can work. I love what I'm doing. And you just have to, you know, listen to that passion. And that's what gives you the drive.
I love that. And let's, what was your aunt's name? We want to thank her for that advice, because you really, what was your aunt's name?
My aunt's name was Aunt Sally. She was my grandfather's oldest sister. And she also gave me piano lessons years ago, and she knew I wasn't going to play the piano. Because I mean, I can play a couple of things that I remember, but she knew when she was teaching me. She said, you know, this isn't what he wants to do, but, you know, I'm going to do it because his parents asked me to, but, you know.
If it's your passion, stick with it, right?
That's right. That's right, CJ.
And let's close on your famous statement from Yoda. What is your favorite statement? There's no, what?
As he would say, I guess I'll do an impression. There is no try. Do or do not.
On that note, you know, first of all, I love working with you, Chris. And the thing that is enduring about you and that came out of the show is your absolute positive outlook and grace with everything that you do. And that has been my interaction with you from day one till now. So much appreciation and gratitude for you as who you are as a person and what you do every day. So
I love what you do too, CJ. And before we sign off, and the listeners are my witness, is that I'm committing you to being the recipient of an interview by me on one of our morning shows. Now, we do our, this one, I want to warn you ahead of time. I know we have to go. We do our morning show 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern time, but I want you up early one morning. So your time, that would be would that be 4 a.m.?
4 a.m. I love Westerly so much. I will do that. So, folks, have a great week, and we'll see you next Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.